Jeg er født i Bremsnes, Kristiansund, Norge. Jeg kom til Amerika i 1948. Jeg var 26 og et halvt år da jeg reiste fra Norge. Jeg er nå 56. Are you going to ask me questions then?
Go ahead. Anything you think? What's your...
Well, I just said that I came from Norway in 1948, and I was 26 and a half when I first came over, and now I'm 56.
Were you married when you came?
No, I was single when I came.
What is your husband's name?
My husband's name... My husband's name is Chester. First name is Chester. And he's a painter, occupation painter.
You had children?
Yeah, I have two, a boy and a girl. My boy is 20 years old. He graduated from high school in 1976, and he is now in the United States Marine Corps, second year. And my daughter is a senior in high school. She'll be graduating now in May this year, the 1st of May.
Do you work?
Yes, I'm employed by Scandia Bakery. A few hours a day.
Yeah. Is this something you learned in Norway?
No,
do there?
This is something in Norway. Well, of course, during the war, I was working on farms in Norway due to the fact that during the German occupation, we had to. Working on farm because of the Germans wanted the Norwegian people to help out so that they could get the produce from the Norwegian farms. From 1940 to 1945, I was Or should I go back to when I finished school? That was before the war. I finished school, and at that time I worked for a farmer in Norway, and then I worked 1 year for a cousin of my mother's. She was an invalid, and her brother was running the farm, and I was helping. And that was the year the war broke out, 1940. And
how old were you then when the war broke out?
I was 18.
And you had just finished what kind of school?
No, I only finished 8th grade of grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 14 when I graduated from my grade school. And I have been working ever since.
Tell me more about your war experience. I didn't realize that you were under the occupation in Norway.
Yes, I was over there during the war. 1940, when the war broke out, I was working at my cousin's farm, and then I decided to change. And then I was over in North Norway for a while working with the fish industry, but that was just for half a year. 1942, I left and went into a place that was called Romsdal, Norway. It was up north from Åndalsnes. And I was going to stay there from April to September. I was working for hotel and farm. It was a combination where they took overnight guests. And while I was there, there was a law passed that you were not supposed to leave the community. You had to be where you're at. And then the German, on that particular farm, Germans had taken it over, so they used all the rooms and so on. And then I got a job with a smaller farm, and which I liked the family, and as long as I had to stay in the community, I liked that family real well. Somehow the Nazis didn't think that this farm needed extra help, so they sent me on another bigger farm where they had, I had to milk 10 cows in the morning, go out in the fields and work during the day, and then get the same cows being milked in the evening. And this, I was on that, I was forced to go there. It was not of my choosing. They took me there. And then I stayed there for a half a year. And in the meantime, the lady on the smaller farm that I was at, she had gotten ill, so they needed help. And somehow I got back to that smaller farm again. And I stayed there until the war was over.
How about your parents?
My parents were with me.
Experienced a lot of hardships during the war?
No, the only thing that was hard on them was the very strong ration as far as the food and so on. But they live on a small island, and of course there was a lot of fish there and everything, so when you have fish and potatoes, you don't starve to death, you know what I mean?
Is so, your father a fisherman?
Yes, he was, but then, you know, he worked with the fish after he got caught in later year. He didn't fish, you know. Older people and the younger children worked with the fish after they got it home, as far as processing it, you know.
Where was this?
This was on a little island called Hasselö, south of Kristiansund, which also was my maiden name.
What did your grandfather do? Do you know that?
My grandfather died when I was quite young. I don't know anything about my grandfather on my father's side, because my grandparents both passed away when I was really young, you know. I don't remember them. I do remember my grandmother on my mother's side, because she was 96 when she passed away, so she was around for a long time. My grandfather on my mother's side, he passed away when I was about 10, 11. I barely remember him.
Did you leave brothers and sisters in Norway? Were you the only one that came?
Mm-hmm. Yes, my mother's sister lived in Seattle, so in 1947, they came home for a visit. And so I just asked if I could come over here, if they would sponsor me if I wanted to come over. That's where I got the idea, and they said they would. And they did. So then when they went back in February of 48, my papers were not completed, so I had to come at a later date, which was in July. And July 31st, I came to Seattle. And then I came to their place. And then I got a job. 5 days after I got here, I got a job. That was at, I don't know if you're familiar with Seattle, but it was north of Seattle, called the Highlands. And I got a job there for Mr. Garrett, that was a housemate. He was there for a year and a half. And then I got another job down at Capitol Hill for Mr. and Mrs. Freely. They were Norwegian, but living here. And I had another job out in Broadmoor after that, until I was here for 5 years. Then I got a job at Boeing's, and I worked for Boeing's for almost 4 years until I got my first baby, and I quit, and I didn't work for until I started at the Scandia Bakery then later. Then my boy was 21.
Where did you meet your husband?
In Seattle.
And what does he do?
He's a painter.
How about your brothers and sisters? Did you leave a family in Norway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both my brothers and my sister are still living over there. Yeah, they were over here for a visit. My sister and my brother, summer of 76. I was over there in 1951. The first time I went home, my father was quite ill, so I went home to visit. I came back in 52 in June, and then I didn't go home again until 17 years later. Then I had my husband and two kids with we went home for Christmas in 1968. I stayed for almost a month.
But they don't have any desire to come over here?
Just to live?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, they have their families established over there. My sister, though, she might come back for a visit, but as far as to stay, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
She lost her husband very suddenly when I was home in 1976, and then 75. So she's a widow now, but she has a daughter, a teenage daughter, so.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she does come back for a visit, though.
You speak so well. Did you learn the language over there?
Oh, I picked up some British. Well, you see, after the war was over in 1946, I went to Oslo, and I got a job at the British Embassy there in Oslo, and I stayed there from 46 to 48 before I came over here. It was a housemaid type of a job, but there was pretty, you know, the ambassador was British and his wife, and chauffeur, secretary, butler, and all of them. So there were more English speaking around the service table maybe than Norwegian. So I picked some up there. I was there a whole year though, however, before I dared say one word.
So you hadn't learned it in school?
No.
The children do now though.
They do now, yeah. It's mandatory now from fifth grade on, I think, in Norway, but I never did.
Your reason for coming over here was
strictly because I wanted to, and just to see. I always had a wandering blood in my veins, I guess. And, so, but anyway, it was hard to think of something when, you know, you think of all the things afterwards.
How about your trip over? Did you come by boat or?
Yes, in 1948 I came on the boat. We had a beautiful trip over, and let's see, we landed in New York. Anyway, we stayed there. I was traveling with three other ladies that was over there visiting at the time, and they knew my aunt and uncle, so that they felt better if I traveled with someone that they knew. So we stayed there, and we visited around in New York a little bit, Coney Island, and, you know, different places of interest in New York. I remember there was such a short time after the war, and when I went out there to amusement parks in Coney Island, I saw all the food. Is that thing still on? I saw all the food, you know, that was out, like hot dogs and stuff like that, out in the open. And I thought, gee, what a waste, you know, all the food when you, after being over there, you know, doing the war, and the food was kind of scarce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How long did it take you to come over?
It took 10 days on the boat.
What did that cost, you remember?
Oh, gosh. It was fairly cheap. Compared to now, I guess. I can't actually say for sure in dollars because I paid in Norwegian money.
Did you have any problems on the boat, particularly being a woman?
No, no whatsoever. The boat trip was beautiful. However, when I went home in 1951 to visit, we had quite a bad storm and bad weather going over. And when we left New York in December 1851, the boat was quite Christmas-like decorated with the Christmas trees up in the top. And when we came to New York, there wasn't even a needle left on any of it. The storm was so rough. I do remember when I first came over the first time, we had a beautiful. We arrived in New York on a Sunday night, and the boat anchored out in the harbor, you know, on the bay, and didn't get ashore until the next day. And we were up on the deck and watched all those beautiful skyscrapers, you know, all lit up, real nice, Statue of Liberty all lit up, and it was quite a sight.
Mm-hmm. That was impressive.
Very impressive. Beautiful. The city looked so beautiful from out in the on the harbor. The next morning, however, when we docked, and it was just like any other gray. You know what I mean? It's it wasn't as impressive as we looked through the colored lights that we saw from out in the boat.
Mm-hmm. How about the train? You take a train then?
Then we took the train, yeah, across. And I don't remember much of the train trip. It took only, it must have been a couple of days, I think, on the train. Somehow the train trip doesn't impress me so much. Maybe the boat trip did. Of course, it was 10 days.
Is there something you can tell about the boat trip that you remember? The story or something?
Well, no, nothing very outstanding. They do have entertainment, you know, and they keep the guests kind of busy with some kind of a deal all during, every day. Evenings, they will have dancing after dinner, and they'll have movies and stuff. And, but as far as one particular thing, I don't remember.
It was a good experience.
It was, uh-huh.
How about adjusting to the new country and your impressions?
That was harder.
Okay,
yeah,
what was
that
most
was
difficult
harder.
About that?
Well, you miss your immediate family and all the friends you leave behind, and somehow everything is so new. Different food and different. Of course, I was with the Scandinavian people so much here, you know, that I got Scandinavian food. That wasn't it, but everything is different, you know. When you come, and it was such a big, much larger country, of course, than I was used to too. And so I was quite. I would say probably homesick then the first year. I didn't lose quite any weight and all, but after you get accustomed, you know, acquainted, and get a lot of friends and stuff, you sort of get, that sort of disappeared.
You kept in contact with your family though, didn't
you? Oh yes. After I was so impressed with everything you could buy here. It was a little hard after over there where you couldn't buy everything you wanted, you know, especially during the war, you couldn't buy anything other. So I was so thrilled about being able to buy. I used to send packages home to my folks at least 2 times a year, you know, with all the goodies. And I wanted them to share what I had from over here.
What particular kind of things?
Oh, like especially coffee and there must have been a lot of other goodies that I sent.
Food,
yeah, I sent the clothes packages and package and food package twice a year for Easter and Christmas, it seemed like, until my then of course when I was home 3 years later I took quite a bit with. But coffee was a big item that you know, open. So I used to send them that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then after a while, when they got a lot of things that they could buy over there, they almost pleaded not to send. They had to pay so much duty on it, you see, over there. That they didn't pay. Now, like cigarettes and stuff. That was quite a hardship on them to send, because they had to send, you know, pay so much duty on it. I never did send cigarettes, but I talked to different people that did, and they said they quit that because it was unfair for the Norwegian to pay all that.
Mm-hmm. When did you get your citizenship?
1954, was it?
Did you take classes?
Yeah,
first.
I went to Broadway Edison evening classes. And there was quite a few of us that went, you know, for the evening classes. Quite a few different nationalities.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of, I shouldn't say impressed maybe, but surprise is more the word for it. When you take your citizen, go to, for your citizen paper, one thing that they stress is that you learn you should know how to talk and read English, and that there was quite a few Japanese students that lived at the same time. So the day we all went up for our citizen paper, they had an interpreter to interpret to them the oath that you had to take. And that surprised me. I thought they had to at least understand that part of it on their own in order to be a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Was my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have an interpreter. And there was quite a few of us that got the papers that day.
Do you still find that you use the Norwegian language?
I like to, as soon as someone, you know, if I know someone that speaks it, you know, because it's a good chance. My only regret about the Norwegian that I hadn't taught it to my two children. And but you see, my husband doesn't speak it, so it was easier to use only one language. I suppose you have the same problem there. And so when I was home in 68, well, somehow I didn't think that I would be going over there when the kids grow up, I think. That was probably in the back of my head. And so in 1968, when I did go back and took my husband and my two children, and my family over there was quite surprised that I hadn't taught my children to speak Norwegian. And now I really wish I had, but of course I can't go back and do it. Especially my daughter, she is, she'll probably learn it one of these days, because her desire is to be a foreign language interpreter. She's going to the university in the fall. She's been accepted at the U, and that is her major in foreign languages. So she'll probably learn it in school, not from her mother, which isn't. Well, maybe that's better. She won't learn more correctly.
Do you feel that we should really keep up our cultural ties?
Oh, yes, very definitely.
Our home country.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It means a lot. We are members of the Sons of Norway down here, and we go to every meeting, and it's a tie between the two. I don't think that anyone should really cut the ties completely. Although when you do take your citizen paper in this country, you're loyal to this country, of course, but you still should have. I'll never forget my Norwegian and my country where I was born. And, although I know for a fact that I'll probably be here in this country and remain here for the rest of my life, I'm sure, because my family and my kids are here, you know. But I still had a little Norwegian at heart.
Your roots are still there.
Huh?
Your roots are still mm-hmm. really there. And it's good to transmit that to our children.
Yeah, I believe that you should. There is room for both, you know, in your heart, so to speak, for both Norway and America. If I was a man and had to, I don't know if there was a war between the two, had to fight one another, you know,
it'd be a difficult decision to make, you say.
Because I feel strongly, very loyal to this country, too, you know. And, that's probably one of the things that you face when you take a citizenship, you know, you take citizen papers from another country. But I do feel that as long as I live here, make my living here, and my home is here, I did like to take out my citizen, you know, be an American citizen. So I got my papers as soon as I've been here for 5 years.
Now when it comes to holidays, do you still keep up Norwegian? Now when it comes to holidays, do you still keep up Norwegian traditions? And that sort
well,
of thing?
No, I must admit that, you know, when it comes to Easter, we have more holidays in Norway than we have here. We have Thursday and Friday, you know, Holy Thursdays, what do you call it, and then Good Friday, that's strictly holidays over there. And then Easter Sunday and the day after on Monday, they're both holidays. So we actually have 5 holidays there, and people go to the mountains and go skiing. They just don't return for Saturday. I mean, sometimes they'll leave like on Wednesday and come back Monday, you see. So we have many more holidays. And that, when you're here, like myself, when I'm working down at the bakery and so on, you just don't have holidays, you know. Like we have, I can't sit home and say, well, I can't work today because it's a holiday, you know.
Do they keep it up more as a spring vacation then, or is it a church?
No, that's a church holiday.
It is.
It's a holiday for everybody. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't your Christmas celebrated longer too?
Well, yeah, we always have like Christmas Eve at 5 o'clock back home. I remember the church bell rang, and that rang the Christmas in. And then in those days, like then they have Christmas Eve night and Christmas Day, and the second day of Christmas was always a holiday. And if you didn't have to very bad, you just didn't work much between Christmas and New Year either. But of course, you do have to do certain jobs. And I know when we were home in 1968, my two brothers, they both work at the shipyard in Molde, Norway, and they had the whole week off at that time. But now this year, when I had a letter from them, they both had to work in between. So maybe now that they have started to do a little bit more work in between Christmas and New Year over there, that's the way I remember it. A lot of holidays, a lot of food to eat.
Yeah, and you keep up still
and
doing the
my night
Scandinavian cookies?
Huh?
Scandinavian baking?
Well, yes, but that was, I had to do that, but now the later years I haven't so much because, you know, like last Christmas when I worked, it was a little hard for me to find the time. I do a lot of sewing too for myself and my daughter, so I bought some cookies at the bakery. It's the first time I've ever done that, you know. But, they do have the kind of Scandinavian cookies down there anyway. But that I did before anyway. I tried to, although it wouldn't be Christmas unless you have 5-6 different kinds of cookies, you know, and stuff like that.
How about setting the night?
Mm-hmm. That we celebrate too. Of course, it's a little hard for me to. That was one of the things that it was a little hard for me to adjust to. When I was in Seattle, we never started Christmas until, well, at home, we didn't put our Christmas tree up until Christmas Eve, and then the kids got to decorate it on Christmas Eve. That was Christmas. But here, when I was in Seattle, the old Sons and Rowanies, they will start having their, what we call Yuletide Fest, you know, and like middle of December. That didn't sit very good with me. I didn't like that so well, but you get used to that too. I had to get used to that. And at one Christmas I was in California at Christmas time, and then the weather was so hot and the people were walking around in shorts and whatnot. That didn't go over at all. That wasn't Christmas at all. Then you don't get the Christmas spirit when you don't have cold weather and snow. So, we never, this is another tradition, of course. But, and everybody worked until the hours, had to get everything ready. Christmas, you know, otherwise Christmas just wouldn't come unless you were ready. But it comes anyway, I guess.
It made cleaning your houses too, didn't it, thoroughly?
Yeah, from top to bottom. And we had everything. We didn't have much money when I grew up, you know, during the Depression and all, but every stitch of clothing was new on Christmas, sort of. You have all my socks, yeah, I knit your own socks and that kind of stuff, but they were brand new on Christmas. And that you get. That's sort of your childhood. I think that's when you're, as a child, you remember those things when you're growing up.
And your father's sons and daughters in Norway here?
The sons, yes.
In Norway, yeah.
has been in my book for a while.
Are you active in it?
Yeah. I was an officer for a number of years, and then I'm out of that now. But yeah, we go to just about all the meetings. I haven't missed too many. Yeah, that we kind of like to keep that up.
Are the women really active in it?
Yeah. We used to have, the last 2 years, they haven't had it, but before that they used to have this dinner every, once a year, you know, and that was a big undertaking from down here in Stanley, because it got so well known that people come from Canada and Bremerton and all over, and when you serve like over 1,000 pounds of lutefisk on Sunday, of course, it's pretty well known, I guess, and then meatballs made out of 200 and some odd pounds of meat. That's a lot of meatballs too. And lefse, homemade flatbread, and everything homemade. So then the ladies were, me included, helping with the lefse baking before. You know Billy Abrahams, I'm sure. Yeah, she used to roll lefse as a diet. Yeah. But now we haven't done it the last 2 years. I don't know whether they'll start it up again or not, because it is quite a job. You know, we're all getting older, you know.
Do you have a particular purpose for doing this?
For the Sunday? Well, there was the big money-making project, for one thing. You know,
for what? What was?
For the Sunday.
Do you use that money for scholarships or something?
They do give scholarship, you know, and help in community, and they have someone handle for their own. You know. They remodeled the building in 1969. That took quite a bit of money, so had to have, raise money for that. But then it is a nice hall now, and one of the nicest in town. A lot of people like to rent it. It isn't that many to have.
Did you belong to the Lutheran State Church in Norway?
I was baptized and confirmed in a Lutheran church, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, here, we belong to the Lutheran church here, too.
So, mm-hmm. So that tradition is carried on, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That my husband's is also Lutheran, so we didn't have any conflict with the religion. And both kids are baptized and confirmed in the church.
What do you do with family affairs? And is it a big affair, like your baptism of children, and confirmation of children, and birthdays? And
birthdays, of course, I don't. Well, when the kids are little, you have a few of the friends in. But confirmation, in Norway, we used to have a few people in for dinner, you know, and when I was confirmed, we didn't have much to do with, so we didn't have too many. I think the godparents are always at the confirmation for the children. I know myself, I did the same for the two kids. And except one set of godparents weren't here, but, you know, and then I asked the uncles and aunts and cousins over for dinner, for confirmation. That, I think, is also a Norwegian tradition. And,
well, how about the women's role in Scandinavia when you were there? Were the women getting out and getting jobs or becoming educated? Or did they mostly stay home?
When I was growing up, the woman's place was strictly in the home. And however, out on the islands where I worked, where I was brought up, you know, like I say, they work with the fish, you know, and so when the fishermen came in and unloaded the boat, so to speak, the ladies and the older men had to help with the cleaning and preparing it and ship it to women. So that some of the women, then they work there. But as far as ladies go out and take office jobs and stuff like that, course, I lived in the country, so we didn't have, I didn't know too much about what they did in town, but in those days, a woman's role was mostly in the home. It had changed over there, too.
They didn't think it was important then for the girls to become educated as it was for the boys?
Now, I think more so, yeah, because my niece, she's going to schools, and they do go to. But I don't know, they were quite, well, it probably was the same here in the old days. They just stayed home and cooked and sewed and stuff for their families. And it's most likely that, especially the Norwegian, or the ladies connected with the Norwegian community, like here, wouldn't be dating more or less.
Mm-hmm. What medical care over there, as compared to here?
The medical, nowadays, oh, it's extremely good. Oh, yeah. They have socialized medicine.
How about when you were there?
Yeah, they started that before I left, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was real great, because families don't have to worry. When you're sick, if the doctor say that they have to be off work for a certain time, then they have sick pay, you know, so they don't have to worry about not having any more no income coming when they're sick and stuff. So it's so much better over there in that area than here. It's almost too good over there now in that area. Oh boy, I tell you, when I was home in 75, it seemed like they have a pension for everything you turn around over there. Of course, you know that Norway today is quite, they got money over there now compared to with that oil industry.
Mm-hmm. So, how about childbirth care? How about childbirth care?
You mean in what way do you mean?
What kind of maternity care do the women have?
Oh yeah, they have a clinic next to the hospital. So now, like for instance, if you live in the country, a week or so before your baby is due, they go and stay at that clinic, so they're ready to go to the hospital. Mother goes into labor. So all of that is extremely good.
It wasn't like that when you were there, though?
No. Uh-uh.
Did you have midwives then?
When my sister was born, yeah, they had a lot of midwives. When my sister was born, I remember my mother, I was 9 years old at the time when she was born, and the midwife was out on another case when my mother needed her, so she had to wait. So the neighbor ladies were around when the baby was born, and then the midwife came about 5-6 hours later to take care of her. And they didn't go to the hospital in those days. Probably didn't hear either, I don't know. But now, there's just no comparison.
Did the women die early then?
Well, no, I don't know too many that did that. It's just one of those things.
How about remarriage if they lost their husband? Did they believe in that?
There wasn't too many of them. No, well, not when I was a kid. Not too many divorces either. Now it is more modern. And I don't know if you could call it modern, but they do get divorces over there too.
Have you kept up any of the crafts? Like, did you learn to knit?
Yeah, I learned all of that when I was a child. I wasn't very old when I had to knit my own socks, I tell you. I did help. My mother used to spin out of the yard, and I had to help her out too. I can do it. I just don't do as much of it as I did then. I don't somehow don't get so much time here. I don't utilize my time like we did there. That's I hit the nail on the head, I think, when I say that. Mm-hmm. Because even now, over there, they have TVs and everything, and they would never think of sitting and watching TV without having some kind of handwork in their hands. and I don't hear. I should, but I don't. So I don't utilize my tongue.
The children began working a lot younger there, didn't they?
Yeah,
they did.
In my days, they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the young ones are. Well, I don't know. They're strict. They're typical teenagers. I don't care if you're here or over there. They have their own way of doing. Although there are some teenagers that works around with the fish industry back home on the island where my sister lived. In the summertime, some of them work, and some of them are good, some of them are worthless, but then it's typical teenagers, I guess.
Did they go out upon the Sabbath?
In the olden days, they did. They don't do that anymore. There's a lot of the small farms that used to be are just not farming anymore. It just doesn't to pay. It's like here, you know, you can't make a living on it. And so the Seattle, they're a thing in the past now, I think. Well, they might, some part of the southern country, I don't know. But I remember one of my mother's sister used to have Seattle when I grew up, and they didn't have it anymore. Well, it's hard to get someone to stay there first from the beginning, and most of the young people there are not interested in farming as they used to be.
The children were doing it anymore.
No, it's a different way of living over there.
Mm-hmm. Did you tell your children the folk tales and the superstitions that were handed down to you?
Oh,
like the trolls and
not
the
too much, no. I probably should have. Didn't think about it.
Did you hear them as a child?
As a child, uh-huh. I heard some of them myself. I didn't do that, no. The trolls, and although my two children had troll dolls, I mean, they were, had those. But as far as the story goes, about some of those folk tales, I didn't tell them too much. Well, they start reading at an early age, although they both like one, especially my daughter, loved to have me tell stories when she went to bed, you know. And, I kind of made up my own.
Did you believe in them when you were a youngster?
When I was a kid, of course, yeah. And I was also, I also had Santa Claus for the kids. I mean, until you know enough to know better, I think, or something. I spilled the bean once myself, I guess, without realizing it. They keep teasing me about that. But, Santa Claus in Seattle, he left his big sack on our front porch and rang the bell. That's as far as he got. Disappeared.
You don't have Santa Claus in Norway, though, do they?
You don't miss it.
Oh, you don't miss it. Yeah.
I don't know. We used to have second day of Christmas. We used to have what they call children's Yuletrefest, Barnefest, what they call that. And then they all the children kind of had part of the program, you know. And then we walked around the tree, and then Santa Claus came and gave a present. You know, not presents as such, just little packages of fruit and whatnot.
But the big presents came from your parents at Christmas Eve.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. That was at Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm.
So that was really a Christian holiday.
Yeah.
Celebration.
Well, we just all of them were part of it. I mean, you know, like Christmas Eve was a big night at home with the family. Nobody went visiting or anything, you know, and the same thing in Christmas Day. You just stayed with your own family then. And, but then the second day of Christmas, then you can go visiting, and that's when the Yuletrefest started. And they would have one each day for a whole week, it seemed like, you know, a different organization. But the first one to start out was always the children, that you were used to call Barnefest. You know. Second day of Christmas.
Did you miss that when you came here?
Yeah, I missed it this far because they had it here too, but like I say, they started too early. They kind of Well, as far as Christmas, they start way too early here. They have their decoration in the window. So by the time Christmas get here, you've heard it for so many months that you just don't, doesn't mean much anymore. Seems like they start before Halloween, throughout the Christmas decorations in the store. That's a little bit, kind of early.
Who at your school? You said you went just through the 8th grade there?
Seventh grade. That was, we went through the 7th grade in our school out in the country. And but that's been changed now to, now I think they go to 9th grade. And then after that, if the parents can afford it, then they send, you know, then they go to other classes, other schools, you know, bigger schools. But when I was a child, there wasn't too many, especially out in the country, that sent their kids, you know, they could afford to send their kids on to higher schools.
How did your family feel about school?
Well,
education and difference between boys and girls?
They, well, we didn't discuss it too much because we knew we couldn't afford it anyway. We just went on out and took jobs, all of us. Myself, I was almost 15. Then I left the little island because, you know, and went and took jobs. I kind of liked farming at the time and work on farms and stuff, so I did that. But then after the war was over, when you sort of get forced to do certain things, then you take the pressure out of it. So after the war, that was, I've had it before.
How do you feel about your own children as far as their education is concerned?
Oh, I think it's very difficult. Now, important that it is if they, you know, like my son, I felt that it was a good thing for him to go into the service at the time because he was kind of undecided, and I don't know if he knew what he wanted, and I thought it was good that he could take the service so that he could sort of grow up a little bit more, and maybe, because I think, I can't help but think that they should not go to school just to be going to school unless they have a definite goal. Because to go 4 years to college and then he said, no, I don't want that. I think that's a waste of money. And our daughter now seemed to have a definite goal, and then I'm all for it. But,
you feel it's just important for her to go as it is for the boy, if she has a goal?
Yeah, I feel it's very important for both of them to have a college degree. But well, I don't know. I take that back. I think that the vocational schools are just as important if they have, if you know, something that they can be trained for, and for a job in a vocational school. I think that's just as, to me, that's just as satisfactory as a college. Just as long as they get, I think they should skip all those preliminary and stick them right into where they're geared to go, is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't have to have, a college degree, to me, is a glorified thing if it isn't helpful to them, you know what I mean, later on. But, now he is geared for, to work with computers and in that field. So when he gets out of the service, he might go to a school where they strictly work with computers, and then he gets his teaching right there, maybe in a much shorter time. And that, to me, I think it's important. Now with her, that goes into foreign language, that probably you need. You probably need all the other stuff to go with it. And then it's important. If she could go on and just learn the foreign language and get it over in a short time, I would be all for that. After all, it does take a lot of money to go to college.
Were you involved in PTA? here?
No, I was a room mother one year in school, but as far as in PTA, I was not. Not that I didn't like the PTA, I just didn't feel like I was qualified to be an officer or anything like that.
You've been involved in any other community affairs besides as a mother?
Yeah. When the kids grew up, I was quite involved with Campfire and Boy Scout. Both of the kids were in the Scout program, and then was quite involved with church still now, in our Savior's Lutheran Church here in Stanford. I had something to do with the Sunday school program for about 10 years, and I'm now working for the Altar Guild and in the circles and that kind of stuff, you know. So my church is just as important as the social media. And each to their own, you know. You have a place for both of them if you try,
mm-hmm.
I think.
So what do you feel about the community life here that you're living in?
Oh, I think I like it. I think they're going forward all the time, trying new things. It seems like they're getting this new center down here, you know, where they have the, you see it down by the Lincoln School. Eventually that will be a swimming pool and everything. I think, wouldn't it be? I'm not sure about the swimming pool, but they're getting it out. Door area there where the beef football come out. So that I think is great. I liked the little community. I was very reluctant to move to Stanwood. We used to live in Seattle and I had all my friends there, you know, I lived there for so many years. But I think a smaller community is better for raising kids. And, so you could, the family ahead of myself. I went with it. The kids like it.
Have there been some women that you've been particularly impressed by? Anything they've done?
Oh, I don't know. I think of any outstanding ones. I mean,
or any significant events that you can recall?
Here in town?
Seattle.
Politics and government, then I'm poor. I don't follow it. It's confusing to me a lot of times. I don't understand what they do and the reason behind it. And so when it comes to politics, I'll just stay out of that one completely.
But how about the taxes that you were talking about, socialized medicine? Do you feel like that's a lot better? Where are the taxes?
Their taxes over there are much higher than ours here, and that's what I'm being told, you know. So, but as far as the socialized medicine, I feel that that is, it's easier on you in the sense if you do get sick and have to be out of work, you don't have to worry about money as much as here. Because here, if you get sick and are on your flat on your back in the hospital, most of the time there's no income coming in for the rest of the family. And that's why I'm impressed with the socialized medicine over there. They don't have to worry.
So yeah, that's really better use for the taxes than what they seem to be doing here, making here.
Yeah, I like that. But other than that, the taxes over in Norway are quite high. Well, I don't even know how high it is, but it is quite high. You see, I haven't earned any money over there since in 1940s, and it's been so many years. But I know they told me about it.
don't they feel it's worthwhile? Because the way they're taken care of,
well,
medically,
yeah,
and old age. And
They might. It is. I'm sure they all think it is worthwhile, all right, because of they don't have to be so much worrying, you know. They sort of complain about their high taxes, like they do here, you know.
Have you been sorry that you came?
We have so many opportunities here. Of course, I was speaking when I did come, at the time I came, your opportunities here for a young person. You can go to evening classes, you know, and take up. This is what I'm comparing to when I left Norway, and you can go to work during the day and go to evening classes at night and take up to an entirely different occupation if you want to earn your own living, as to do it too. But now whether they can do that over there now, of course I wouldn't know, but at the time, especially where I came from, you know, that we know we didn't have that. But they might have in town. I wouldn't. It's kind of, when you don't live in town, you don't know exactly.
Easier to raise children there, though? Like, okay, for instance, discipline. Do you have stricter discipline than yours? And you were able to...
I think the discipline is to the individual family, whether you live in this country or not. I mean, you set a goals and rules, and they go by that. And we're all too easy with our children, I think, because they get, nowadays, but there again, it's the same over there, because when I am now, they get much more money to do with the movie. Movie had a dream of when I was a child. It's the same thing here and now. It's up to the parents where you draw the line, I think, when it comes to the child.
How about discipline in the school there? Was it stricter?
You mean when I went to school? Well, it's a little hard to compare, because we had such a small little community school, you know, and well, we had a great respect for our teacher. My gosh, we were scared stiff just when we saw him, you know. But now whether they have the same, but now, I mean, here they don't. They're more free with their teachers and stuff. We had much more respect, I think. I know we had when I was a child, but it's changed over there too.
There's something that I would like to tell you when you're talking about the language and what you've handed down. Did you teach your children Norwegian prayers? Or?
Well, when they were real tiny, I did. I taught them the Lord's Prayer in Norwegian. But then that's when they were real tiny. I don't think they remember it anymore. There again, my husband and I, we always, you know, listened to prayers together, and then it was much easier to have them say the American Lord's Prayer. And there again, I regret that I didn't keep that and the table prayer up in Norwegian, because I should have. There was no reason why I couldn't have just taught it to the kids, and my husband would have learned it at the same time. If I had to do it over again, I would have done that. Because I have some good friends in Seattle, they did that to their daughter. But you know, there are certain things you do in life that you think you wish you had done differently, and that was that is one of my regrets, that I didn't teach them more. I was thinking, and I thought, oh, so much easier to use the same language for all three of them, you know. And it was one time. I should have taught him at the same time. He could have been a kid and learned too.
seems to me that all the way through this that you were really brought up as being submissive. The women were submissive to the men in the homes.
Yeah, I suppose you wait on the men. I suppose you feel, my mother did the same, and I felt the same, that I couldn't dream of having my husband get up and make his own breakfast in the morning. It was just, that was my job, I figured, to him. That's what I've been my job for 22 years. Even when the kids were small, it was part of my job. I felt that was my job, to get up for the kids at night and get up for him in the morning. It wouldn't matter any other way. I'd do it over again. No, that I feel is supposed to be. And now, of course, when I work this little job down there, when we were first married, we both worked, and then he helped. We even had dinner started when I got home, because he sometimes came home before I did. He was closer to home, his work. And so we did it together, you know, dishes and all. Yeah, he helped with the dishes and stuff. But then when I quit my job and stayed home to have the children, then I thought, well, my job, you know, then that's fine with him. But no, I wouldn't have any other way. I feel that he should be the man of the house. I do feel that. I'm very old-fashioned, I'm sure. I'm not liberated at all that way.
Would you be happy with that?
I worked so hard when I was younger, and I was doing man's work alongside of the men. I mean, you know, so I've had my share of, I have no desire to go out on the road and or be a fireman or a policeman or whatever, because that, I don't know, I feel it's a man's job somehow.
When you were working right alongside of the Norway, were you paid as much as they were?
No. That I feel, I'm liberated in that area. I believe that when they do the same job, they should have the same pay. That I must admit that, because why not? I mean, you know, if they have them, they do exactly the same job. But as far as me going out after a job that should belong to a man, I'm not decided
that. That you think should belong to a man?
Yeah, that's his job. Then I'm old fashioned.
Oh, I'm not too sure if that's liberated or unliberated. I don't think that's the criteria. Because I agree with you. As far as that's concerned, you should get paid for your work, but.
Yeah. But it's going to. Yeah. You think the men should have their jobs too, and the women should have theirs. Yeah. But there's a lot of women today that. That's each to his own there, I think.
Can you, to close this off, say one of your prayers in Norwegian?
You want me to say that? I'll say have the Norwegian table prayer down at the bakery hanging there, and I recite that to a lot of people, because when they don't understand, well, they probably heard it when they were children, you know. That goes, yes, and I'm going to go, speak to the people, to the latter, or stick out for not.